Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium waiting Boomer Esiason, who will join us at 8 on This Week in the NFL, and Gerard Mayo, who will be with us at about 9:20 this morning. Before that, at 7:20, so 15 minutes away, we will get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend, and we will certainly go over what Teddy Bruschi said he does not want to see when it comes to Bill Belichick coaching in college. This, before we get to the rest of the leads, this is Jackie. Jackie, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say, Curtis, I always appreciate your forecast, but you've got that a little wrong this morning, my friend. I just drove 30 miles in Rhode Island, and it's pretty bad. We have lots of ice, and I would have been more than happy to see a standing truck before I got here.
I was on 95 this morning. See? There wasn't ice anywhere.
See, our very own Grinch doesn't care about anybody but himself.
Well, was I saying I was driving in Rhode Island?
No,
but I mean, I can't
be a cop. We're pretty close.
It's probably snowing in Maine right now. We're on up there. Should I get the sander to go up there?
Jackie, thank you. I for one care. Jackie, so there's snow and ice in Rhode Island. Hmm. Are we going to have a white Christmas?
My latest modeling, there was a Alberta Clipper that just went way north.
Oh, it
so
did?
We were hoping there'd be a trough come down, but
it's not happening.
The high pressure is really going to get locked in over the northeast here.
God, that's so
but good drone weather.
Yeah, so. Great drone weather.
Clear.
All right, Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I had two leads, but I'm going to go with this one because I think it's just a little bit more interesting, seeing that we were talking about it a little bit. Is I think we're starting to see the transition of power between Robert and Jonathan Kraft, where it looks like it could be heading more to Jonathan Kraft as the decision maker for this football team kind of moving forward. And maybe that they might not always be on the same page in the past, but I don't know if Jonathan maybe had enough of the power yet to sway his dad in the direction that he wants to go. So when you think about Mayo potentially being a one-and-done guy, I think that that's something now that could be a real possibility, because I don't know if Robert and Jonathan were initially on the same page when it came to Mayo
the guy.
The successor to Bill.
Because Robert identified him 5 years ago as the guy, and you're not sure that Jonathan was on board with that.
Yeah, so and I, you know, as you start to see the more and more, they're starting to look like kind of like the Joneses as owners, in the sense where they're the reason why they moved on from Bill is because they wanted to be more involved. And when you see Jonathan, what we don't know, whether it's a play sheet, a roster, halftime stats, you know, a stat sheet, we don't know. But clearly he wants to be more of a hands-on type of owner on the football stuff.
It's like the age-old question, how much should an owner be involved? It's their it's their billion-dollar business.
Yeah.
So
I don't have no problem when an owner's hands on.
You know what the funny thing with this whole dynamic has been with Bill gone and Robert and Jonathan here with this team is that both were right. Bill Belichick had too much power, as shown by the rest of the NFL not being willing to give it to him. And Bill was spot on that Jonathan wanted to be more involved than he shouldn't be. Like, yeah. It's pretty interesting how both sides were correct. Bill was right to believe that this ownership group was frustrated and was trying to meddle in ways they weren't adequately ready for. And Jonathan and Robert were right that Bill had too much power.
I mean, if you were going to look at an ownership group that does it right and stays out of it, would you pick the Hunts and
yeah,
the,
but it's really simple. Your ownership group looks brilliant if you have a historically great quarterback. I hate to be that pathetic, yeah. But like,
That's the only.
I mean, I don't think the Pegulas woke up brilliant. They have Josh Allen. Like, I don't think that the Biscotti family with the Ravens is, you know, next level. They have Lamar Jackson.
But isn't it really more about what you like as a fan? Because I can go either way. I got no issues when the owner's not involved, similar to what we see like with John Henry. And I got no issues with like what Jerry Jones is doing with his organization.
But it worked when our owners were not involved.
Right,
like,
but
yes, we could say, well, we had a great quarterback.
We had a great head coach.
But it worked then. So why are they trying to change that model now?
I guess because maybe they feel like they want to be more. Maybe Jonathan wants to be more involved as somebody who's an owner. I mean, you know, the Dallas Mavericks were able to win an NBA championship with an owner that's involved. The Celtics were able to win a championship with an owner that's a little bit more involved. Didn't he go into the locker room and, you know, basically say, hey, how the hell you guys playing?
Yeah.
So you're able to do it either way. I think it's more as a fan what rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also if you're not giving, in the case of Gerard Mayo, you're not giving him the leeway that he should have as the head coach when it comes to the operation, then I think it becomes a problem organizationally.
Yeah.
You know, you hire who you hope is the most talented person and let them run the business. I mean, that's the way it works.
Right. You need to find the right person, and you need to find the right multiple people. Because to be candid, Bill was at his best when he had Pioli and when he had Caserio, and he had a very talented roster guy, whereas you check out the last 4 years of drafting, it's been abysmal. And so you do need to find, like, they have Veach, whatever his name is, with the Chiefs.
Veach
is the GM. You have Andy Reid, who just coaches. I think after your mid-60s, you probably should just coach.
But isn't it about the relationship that they had? Because remember, the relationship with Pioli and those other guys with Nick Casera were guys that were loyal to Bill. And were like, if Bill was like, okay, I don't like that guy, they would be like, all right, rather than maybe.
But I do think that Pioli, at least, would then, if Bill disagreed, he would just put his tail between his legs. He'd be like, maybe this is why, you know, there was at least some back and forth, I think. It wasn't just like Lombardi doing his bidding.
Yeah.
But if Robert trusted that Gerard Mayo was the guy 5 years ago, don't you think in those 5 years he should have been able to put people around Gerard that he wanted? Like, if you're so all in on one guy, then you should be able to trust in the fact that he wants certain people around him.
I think Robert Kraft said what he thought sounded good in the moment. I don't think he actually thought he would be the guy 5 years ago. I think he was trying to take a premature victory lap and talk to the people that were about to vote for his candidacy for the Hall of Fame that he was prescient in finding this
but
guy.
But he was doing certain things that made it look like it was pointing towards Gerard Mayo.
Well, in the last couple of years, yeah. Like, I think he panicked a little bit, like he was going to lose. They were going to lose Gerard Mayo. I mean, they were willing to put it in his contract that he's the heir to the throne,
right,
when he had no, you know, he wasn't holding an offer to be a head coach in front of them, Curtis, and saying, you know, I'm leaving if I don't get this. They wanted to do that on their own.
It was just the interviews. Because remember, we battled over this. Well, not battled, but we had conversations about people like, oh, Gerard's the guy. You don't want him to go, because I think Carolina interviewed him. And there was a point in time where people were on board. We're like, hey, it needs to be Gerard. It needs to be Gerard. It was like he was getting all the accolades just for the interviews and, you know, some of those things.
This is Mark. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Courtney, good morning. Curtis, Courtney, go Eagles.
All right.
Curtis, couple things. What about organizations like San Francisco and Pittsburgh? They don't luck into a quarterback. They build a program. They build a structure. They go with it, and they have success almost year in and year out. So, no, what you said isn't true. It's not all about just finding the quarterback.
How many Super Bowls have the 49ers won in the last 30 years?
How many times have they been there?
That's not the question I asked. I said, how many Super Bowls have they won in the last 30 years?
Oh, my God. You're going to make this about just lucking into a quarterback. I mean, it's a lot more than that.
Well, if it's about organizational stability, they would have won a Super Bowl in the last 30 years.
So what about Pittsburgh? They're competitive every year. They're 10 and 3 or 11-3 with a backup quarterback, basically. It's more about ownership.
And they haven't won a playoff game since 2016.
I think it's ownership wanting to. And let me help you out here. I think it's ownership wanting to step in and help out, like, because the Rams were able to win without that quarterback. The Eagles were able to win without, obviously, the best quarterback. So I think but they were willing as an ownership group to put pieces in place, whether that was going out, and I think the Rams traded for Jalen Ramsey, you know, paying Aaron Donald a ton of money. So, you know, you look at, yeah, I get it, the Patriots.
Well, the Rams won because they gave up a haul for Matthew Stafford.
Right, but the ownership has to be willing to do that. And like, Matthew Stafford wasn't considered, I wouldn't put him on the Brady quarterback
but
level.
But the Rams are a great example. They got to a Super Bowl.
Because the ownership was willing to say, you know what, we'll give up a ton to maybe get a guy that we feel like we need at the quarterback position.
Right, but my point is that unless you have a quarterback, so the Rams got there, they lost, and then they said Jared Goff isn't enough, so they gave up a haul to get Matthew Stafford, right, and they won a Super Bowl. And so in consecutive years, you had Brady who left, went to a new team, they won. Stafford with the Rams wins his. You have Mahomes, who's been with the Chiefs. I mean,
wouldn't put Stafford in the same area as Brady and Mahomes.
Well, no, not talent-wise, but he was the difference. He was a better quarterback for that team, and that's what they realized they needed.
It doesn't have to be a Mahomes, though. I mean, there's
no.
You know, give me an example from the Lions. I mean, you can have a manageable,
right,
like a quarterback.
Jared Goff.
Who's above, little above average,
right,
and still be there.
Right. There are ways you can get there. You can have excellent people all around the quarterback, or you can have an all-time great quarterback that makes people elevated from good to great.
Like the Eagles want to win Nick Folk, you know?
All right.
Foles, whatever.
Yeah. We got to get to
with
Courtney.
An asterisk.
I will share my, because Curtis and I tag teamed on the drone lead this morning. Anyway, I will share my audio from the Cape over the weekend when we get to the news.
Yes,
at 8:20 this morning. They said it coming up next. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this morning?
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Patriots fall in Arizona 30-17, falling to 3-11 on the season. Drake completed 19 of 23 passes for 202 yards. He had a rushing touchdown and an interception in this one. It's the fourth straight loss for the Pats, and New England's D has allowed 25 or more points for the fourth straight game. Now, there was a comment made by Gerard after the loss that have some scratching their heads this morning. He was asked if he ever considered having Drake take the ball himself on fourth down for a little QB sneak. Here's what he had to say.
Running Drake in that situation, it's a short yard situation. You know, he can run.
You said it, I didn't.
Oy.
So we'll be able to ask Gerard about that and so much more in the 9 o'clock hour on this Patriots Monday. Monday Night Football has two games tonight. The Bears take on the Vikings at 8, while the Falcons take on the Raiders at 8:30. The Celtics, however, got a win in Washington last night, 112-98 the final. Jason Tatum led the way with a double-double, 28 points and 12 rebounds. Kristaps Porzingis exited the game in the second quarter, did not return in the second half due to right heel pain. After the game, Porzingis said he didn't think it was anything major. And how about this? Freddie Freeman, a walk-off grand slam ball from Game 1 of the 2024 World Series, has sold for $1.56 million. It's the third most expensive baseball ever sold.
Inflation.
And give the perfect gift this year. 99 Restaurant gift cards. They're the perfect gift for everyone on your list. For every $25 you purchase, receive a $5 bonus gift card for yourself. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
It is 32 degrees in Boston right now. Afternoon high of 43.